This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can always follow along on Twitter. I'm at Scott's On Air. Hit us all by the network at VSiN Live. We have so much to get into here on this Saturday evening into Sunday morning. College football championship weekend is still in progress. We have so many debates as far as the opportunity to get into the college football playoff. The Heisman odds are fluctuating as we speak. And then, of course, we have NFL Week 14 Sunday action to preview and get you ready for. Once again, you can always hit us up on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. We'll get to all the NFL Week 14 games, the trench report as well, my favorite player props, including a little teaser about a player prop that I'm going to be playing on Monday Night Football. I'll talk more about that in tomorrow's show, but I'll tease it for you a little bit tonight. I actually think it's one of the finer handicaps that I've done all season long. So I'll let you peek behind the curtain on that one. But let's get you caught up on what is going on right now in Championship Saturday in college football. So we have two games in progress and one with major, major implications. The two games in progress, both at the half right now, is the Big Ten Championship game and the ACC Championship game. In the Big Ten Championship game, they are playing for literally nothing. Well, they're playing for a conference title, and that's cool. That's exciting, especially for a school like Indiana that hasn't won one in eternity. But the winner or loser of this game doesn't matter. They're both getting a first-round bye in the college football playoff. And when the rankings come out tomorrow on Sunday, we're going to see both Indiana and Ohio State. The winner of this game is going to be the number one seed. If Indiana loses, there's a chance that they go to number three and Georgia goes to number two. If Ohio State loses, they'll just fall to number two. Indiana will be number one. Regardless, at worst, there's a three seed for Indiana. But it's likely just going to be one and two again. So they're not playing for much. But right now, it is at the half. Ohio State has a 10-6 lead on Indiana. Ohio State on the live line right now is a 6.5-point favorite. Live total in this game is 38.5. The most interesting aspect of this game is monitoring the play of both quarterbacks. Both Julian Sain for Ohio State and Fernando Mendoza for Indiana were the top two favorites for the past couple of weeks to win the Heisman Trophy. Over the last few days, and maybe it started earlier in the week, but over the last few days, we have seen significant movement in the Heisman market in favor of Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia. And the idea is Heisman votes are due in tomorrow, the final votes. One, there could also be voters that already submitted their votes. That's just, it always happens, right? But the idea behind Diego Pavia being a value play for the Heisman Trophy is that if this game between Indiana and Ohio State, the last data point that you can have for both of these quarterbacks, winds up being a low-scoring game where neither quarterback kind of blows you away, people will vote for Diego Pavia. Well, that's exactly what's kind of happening right now. Over on DraftKings, with these odds kind of moving as we speak, Diego Pavia is the odds-on favorite, or the betting odds favorite to win the Heisman Trophy right now, at minus 170. Julian Sain of Ohio State is now the second favorite at plus 270, and Fernando Mendoza of Indiana is plus 370. It is a 10-6 game at the half right now in Indianapolis. Fernando Mendoza for Indiana is 9 of 15 passing for just 87 yards and an interception. Julian Sain for Ohio State, 7 of 11 passing, 109 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. Any voter that is using this game as a, you know, a measurement or as a game to say this is the last data point, I need to see something from both of these quarterbacks in a year where, frankly, and I've come out and said it publicly, I'll keep saying it, there is no Heisman Trophy winner this year. We're not going to remember who wins the Heisman this year. And yeah, some people say, well, if Fernando Mendoza wins it and Indiana wins the national championship, it's a great story. We're all going to remember that. We're not going to remember anything. No one's going to remember who wins the Heisman this year. I'm sorry. Go back and quiz yourself on Heisman Trophy winners. There's names that people forget. Like, there's names that are not the popular, sexy names that didn't have NFL careers that win the Heisman Trophy, and people just completely forget about them. And I don't know if Fernando Mendoza or Julian Sain or Diego Pavia is going to have a successful NFL career. The only name I can tell you right now that we will remember out of this trio, at least as of right now, as of December 2025, is Diego Pavia. Because Diego Pavia, who's been in college football forever, right, who has had incredible moments, highlight reel moments, storybook moments that we've talked about when he was at New Mexico State and then playing at Vanderbilt. Every time you're betting this kid as an underdog and how many times he comes through, you will remember Diego Pavia, win or lose this Heisman. I don't know if we're going to remember who Fernando Mendoza is. I don't know if we're going to remember who Julian Sain is. And both those kids, by the way, still have a ton of years ahead of them. And who knows? Especially Sain, obviously, he's the freshman. Mendoza, not so much. The second half will be telling. I think if there's a value play to be made right now, it would be on Julian Sain, in my opinion. Just because he's at plus 270. They're both at plus money, plus 270, plus 370. But I like Ohio State to win this game. He's already thrown for a touchdown. He's already got over 100 yards. And he kind of had the better numbers if you look all season long, even though, I mean, Mendoza had, what, 32 touchdowns this year? Like, again, this is a year that it's just not, there's no Heisman winner. There's just not. But if you're trying to take advantage from the betting markets, your guess is as good as mine. Honestly, like, I'd be putting, I mean, could Jeremiah Love at 50-1 now win this award, the running back at Notre Dame, without playing another game? Jacob Rodriguez, the linebacker of Texas Tech? I mean, that's a guy that I might vote for. But there is no Heisman winner right now. There just isn't. And in a year where it's been down, I mean, any other year, I don't even think any of these guys would be a finalist. That's how ridiculous this season has been in college football. But somebody's got to win the award. We're going to give it out. They're going to vote for it. And this second half will determine who wins the award. With the fact that Ohio State is winning, with the fact that Ohio State on the live line is a 6.5-point favorite, Julian Sain at plus 270 would be the value play, in my opinion, to win the Heisman Trophy. If Ohio State goes on to win this game, he puts up a couple of numbers here in the second half, he'll get the votes to win this award over Fernando Mendoza and Diego Pavia, who is here in Vegas taking on the UFC fights instead of being playing right now and waiting for his team to not get into the college football playoff. In the ACC championship game in progress right now, Virginia trails Duke at the half 14-7. Second half is about to begin. The bet that I would make right now is Virginia on the money line at plus 120. Virginia was a favorite, north of a field goal favorite, about one minus 170, minus 180 on the money line coming into this game. And Duke has done an incredible job of maintaining possession. The time of possession in the first half is completely lopsided. Duke had the ball 2-1 compared to Virginia. Virginia had a missed field goal, and then they're not able to convert any third downs. They're 2-5 on third downs, but they get the first possession here of the third quarter. If Virginia scores any points on this possession, it doesn't have to be a touchdown, any points on this possession, they will flip to become the favorite. And so I think the value is on Virginia right now, plus 2.5 on the spread, but plus 120 on the money line would be my play here. Any points on this first drive for UVA, they will flip to the favorite here against Duke in this game. I'm Scott Sattenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Results from earlier here on Championship Saturday. A dominating game here for Georgia in the SEC Championship game, beating Alabama 28-7. A dominating effort for Texas Tech, beating BYU in the Big 12 Championship game, 34-7. The debate is now whether or not a three-loss Alabama gets into the college football playoff or not. When the committee last week placed Alabama at number 9 ahead of Notre Dame at number 10. Many people believed, and I believed it too, to be true, that that was the committee giving us the answer and giving themselves the out, saying that no matter the result of the SEC championship game, Alabama's going to get in. Because if you think about it, like, there has to, like, who's going to get left in? Who's going to get left out? Now, we haven't had an upset, right? BYU did not beat Texas Tech, stealing a bid in the college football playoff. But there is an argument now. Miami, if Alabama gets in, one of the two, Miami or Notre Dame, is going to get left out. And so that's the biggest thing. And I've screamed it on top of the rooftops that Notre Dame should get in over Miami despite that week one loss. Now I am I believe that Alabama should not get in now. Put Miami and Notre Dame both in. That's where I stand, because you cannot have it both ways. I'll explain what I mean by that coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Once again, always on Twitter, at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us up on the network at VSIN Live. We're going to monitor the second half action in both the ACC and the Big Ten championship games. Plus, we're going to preview the UFC card coming up here tonight. Big fight between Dvashvili and Jan. Our guy Dave Ross will join us in a few minutes. But coming up next, why you can't have it both ways. This is Cashin' Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashin' Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, monitoring the action in both the Big Ten championship game and the ACC title game, where a playoff spot is on the line for James Madison out of the Sun Belt. Yes, James Madison winning the Sun Belt last night, and rooting very hard for Duke to upset Virginia, and that will open up a playoff spot for number 25, James Madison, because remember, the rules are that five highest-rated conference champions that get the automatic bids, not the Power Four conferences. So Duke, a five-loss Duke, should they win this game, they will not be ranked higher than James Madison, who was 25 prior to their game last night. They finished off a 12-1 season there, winning the Sun Belt Conference title game. But right now, Virginia's got the ball, and they are moving. At the Duke 10-yard line, I mentioned how the bet to be made coming into the second half was Virginia on the money line at plus 120, because any score here, field goal, touchdown obviously changes everything. Even if it's a field goal and it's a 14-10 game, Virginia flips to the favorite. Well, I'll tell you right now, no score has even happened yet. It's still 14-7, and Virginia's flipped to the favorite. They are now minus 120 on the live money line as they drive here with the first possession of the third quarter. In fact, they're now minus 135 on the live money line. This is why you take advantage of a spot like this. This is why live betting can be extremely lucrative if you can take advantage of spots. Knowing that Virginia got the ball to start the third quarter, this was an opportunity that you could have taken a stab at a plus money price, thinking that, hey, if they just come out of the locker room with a good scripted drive here to start the second half, they score, you're going to lose that value on them. So let's see if they can finish off this drive. It is first and goal at the 5-yard line here for Virginia. Meanwhile, Ohio State and Indiana, still a 10-6 football game as the Heisman odds continue to fluctuate. And I just tweeted out, you guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, my hot take that I mentioned last segment, right? That regardless of who wins the Heisman, doesn't matter who wins the Heisman, the quarterback that people will remember from the 2025 season is Diego Pavia. That's it. No one's gonna remember Julian Sayin's name, and no one's gonna remember Fernando Mendoza's name. It doesn't matter. People will remember Diego Pavia. I mean, just think about it. Like, how many? Do people even remember that Will Howard was the quarterback of Ohio State that won the national championship last year? We're not talking about Heisman, but that was like a national championship quarterback. No, no one's going to remember. You'll remember guys that go into the NFL and have careers, and then you can look back and be like, oh, yeah, I remember him in college. But right now, it doesn't look like Mendoza or Sain is going to be that guy. Diego Pavia is probably not going to be that guy either. But he'll be the one that we remember just because he's got the publicity, he's got the flashiness, and certainly he is definitely pulling off this Heisman campaign. Okay, I teased out last segment why you can't have it both ways. This is why you can't have it both ways. Conference championship games matter. And I know that that is a very unpopular opinion, because the idea is that, well, if a team gets to the conference championship game, the precedent's been there before, right? You can't punish them for losing in their conference championship game. And look at what happened last year, right? SMU and Clemson. SMU comes all the way back and they lose by a field goal, and then both teams get into the college football playoff last year. The committee told us, hey, it didn't matter that you lost in the conference championship game. And how many people have been saying it today in response to Alabama? You should not be punished for playing an extra game. I understand that. In fact, I tend to agree with that. It's not fair that Alabama has to play an extra game when Notre Dame doesn't. I get that. That's not fair. But you can't have it both ways. You can't tell me that conference championship games matter for wins, but they don't matter for losses. Because the committee and everybody who watches college football and votes on this stuff and ranks this stuff uses a win in the conference championship game to promote a team, to further a team's resume. Georgia wins the SEC championship game. They're going to be probably the 3 seed, maybe even the 2 seed, if Ohio State beats Indiana here in the next rankings. Texas Tech, they win the Big 12. They're going to get a bye in the first round of the college football playoff. If BYU would have won the Big 12, well, guess what? They would have gotten an automatic bid. Now, that's a different scenario because, like, we're not talking about a team that was already in the playoff picture, like a Texas Tech or like a, Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, all that stuff. But you can't tell me that we can reward a win for a conference championship, but we can't punish a loss. That doesn't add up to me. That math doesn't math. If you want to get rid of the games entirely, cool. If you want to tell me conference championship games are irrelevant, then these teams should opt out. Alabama should have said, we're not going to play. Our resume is our resume. This is where we stand. We choose not to play. And then Vanderbilt could have said, hey, we'll take their place. We'll play because if we win, maybe you're going to put us in. But if Alabama, maybe that's the future of college football, right? Hey, teams opt in and out of bowl games all the time. Maybe that's what's going to happen here with conference championship games. Teams are just going to opt out if it doesn't matter. After all, if it's all about just making the 12-team playoff field, and that's what we have right now is a 12-team playoff field, then the conference championship games don't matter. Is that what you're telling us? But they don't tell us that because they tell us that the conference championship games matter for teams that need to win and get in. How is that fair? You can't have it both ways. You can't reward teams for winning the conference championship and not punish the teams for losing the conference championship. Alabama, yes, they beat Georgia earlier this year. But Georgia has been a different team after that Alabama game. Georgia, along with Ohio State and Notre Dame, in my opinion, the most complete teams in college football. And yes, we can look at how a team has changed from losses, because that's what we're doing all the time. So yeah, Alabama beat Georgia. That's great. Georgia for the rest of their season has looked great in wins against Ole Miss, in wins against Texas, in wins against Georgia Tech, and this win against Alabama. Georgia has looked incredible. Alabama, meanwhile, yeah, they're getting credit for playing tough conference games, tough ranked games, and winning against Vandy, and winning against Tennessee, and winning against Missouri down the stretch, right? But they the loss to Oklahoma How does that not hurt them? How does that not hurt them? After Alabama lost to Oklahoma, this is what they did, right? In the three games following the loss to Oklahoma, Alabama beat Eastern Illinois. Can't take anything away from that game, right? There's nothing to factor in from that game. They beat Auburn, and the committee comes out last week and is like, hey, we give Alabama credit for their battling back with Auburn and going for it in a key situation here. But yet no credit given to Vanderbilt for absolutely blowing out Tennessee anyway. And then they lose to Georgia. So I have two data points on Alabama after they lost to Oklahoma. A win against Auburn in a tough matchup on the road, yes, against a bad Auburn team. And a loss to Georgia where they weren't competitive. How are we rewarding this team with a playoff bid? Meanwhile, you want to look at how other teams did after their losses. All Notre Dame did was win 10 straight games, and none of them were close. All Miami's done since their bad loss to SMU was blow out every team that they played, including a ranked Pittsburgh team on the road. Miami and Notre Dame should get in, and Alabama shouldn't. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Let's hear from Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer on his team's playoff chances.
I mean, if we're really worried about the score, then probably punt it on your own 11, right? But I'm here to win an SEC championship. I'm not here to, if you lose by one or you lose by more, it's still a loss. And that's what I was caring about. We're here to win an SEC championship. We can't get worried about how much did we lose by or what was. That was what it was about. And we're here to win. That's how we play. And again, it was a 14-point game. We have the ball with 7.5 minutes to go, you know, against a really good team that knows us well and we know them well. You know, I thought our defense did a heck of a job going against them. You know, one thing we didn't really do was take the ball off them, you know, and the one turnover they got helps up. And again, a short field. So again, that's football. But, you know, that's the way I looked at this game. And if this game.
But you lost. That's end of story. End of discussion. You lost. We'll switch gears. We'll get into the UFC. Talk about Dvashvili and Jan. The rematch coming up next with our buddy Dave Ross. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we continue to monitor all the action, of course, in the college football championship games, Big Ten title game right now, where Indiana has a 13-10 lead over Ohio State in the third quarter, an ACC title game where Duke leads Virginia 14-10 right now, also in the third quarter. But we have a big UFC event going on right here at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, UFC 323. And joining us right now to break it all down, he is the host of VSiN by the Books, also First Strike Podcast, part of the VSiN family of podcasts. He is Dave Ross. Dave, welcome back to the show, brother. I miss you. You're all the way there in Kentucky. I mean, come on, man.
I know, you know, modern technology can get us together with the phone, but I miss you out there in Vegas. And I was saying, Scotty, this is the type of night that I really miss living in Las Vegas. You don't have to be at T-Mobile to really get the feel. And I'm out here at the Circus Sports here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. And they're starting to experience what you get to experience right there at Circus Sports in Las Vegas, whether you're at Stadium Swim. I mean, it's Vegas is the preeminent fight town, I think, in the world. I don't know that there's a better town for fights. And this is when I miss Vegas, but they're starting to get the grips of it here in Kentucky. I'm proud. We got a pretty good crowd on here to watch this UFC 323 card.
That's awesome, man. The place looks great over there at the Mint Gaming Hall there in Kentucky, where you can catch Dave hosting VSiN by the Books Monday through Friday mornings right here on the Sports Betting Network. All right, Dave, we got three fights left tonight here on the card here. Actually, we got four fights left on the card here. Henry Cejudo against Peyton Talbot is the next fight up. Cejudo is a plus 230 dog. Do you have any feeling on, and now it's actually lowered a little bit, plus 210. Do you have any feeling on the dog here in Cejudo?
Oh, big time, Scott. I absolutely love this spot for Triple C, the king of cringe, Henry Cejudo, one of the, you know, the double champ, right? He's the triple champ, of course, with the Olympic gold medal as well. But then you give him the bantamweight championship, of course, was the former flyweight champion of the world as well. Look, clearly, this is his retirement fight. We know that better days are certainly in the past here when you look at Henry Cejudo. But I think the one thing that Peyton Talbot has, which is youth, he also has inexperience. And I think that could really hurt him tonight. There's no way I want to back him at that price point. I did take a stab at Henry at plus 220 because if Talbot doesn't get him out of there with power, and we know how difficult Henry can be to find because he's going to be looking for single legs. He's going to be looking to get this fight down to the ground. And that's where you see one of the best, you know, wrestling practitioners we've ever seen in any discipline of martial arts, let alone in the UFC. I really like Cejudo to take this fight down to the ground, and I think Talbot might be a little bit confused down there. And if he can't stand right back up and Henry's able to get those return takedowns, I don't know that he can finish a guy like Peyton Talbot, but I certainly think he can win on the cards here. I think if it goes to the judge's decision, you better hold your breath if you're laying that type of price point here with Peyton Talbot. I'd much rather be on the dog here. Henry Cejudo is my play at plus 220.
As we go to the flyweights, we have a coin flip here between Brandon Moreno and Tatsuro Taira. Anywhere from minus 120 to even money. Taira minus 120, Moreno even money. You can get minus, you know, minus 110s. Like, this is a virtual coin flip in terms of the betting markets. So which side are you going, heads or tails?
Okay, well, who doesn't love Brandon Moreno, right? He's the first ever Mexican-born UFC champion the organization's ever had. I've cast so many tickets on Brandon Moreno back in the day. But at this point, when I look at a guy like Tetsuro Taira, that's not exactly yet a household name here for the casuals into mixed martial arts. He certainly is a rising star in the promotion and, you know, coming over from Japan. And sometimes it almost looks like he's like a cyborg out there, and he almost looks like he's emotionless. And Moreno's the direct opposite, right? So he's popping around. He's constant motion. And Tyra's that cyborg that's coming at you. I think the problem for Moreno is, in order to really hurt him, he's got to get close. And if you get close to Taira, then the fight goes down to the ground. I know Moreno's very proficient down there as well. He doesn't want to be on the ground with Tetsuro Taira. This is where you get to that submission specialist type of guy. I think Tyra's going to be too big for Moreno. And the problem that I see with Brandon, like everybody in life, myself included, you're not as good as you was when it comes to movement that you were 5 years ago. The wars that Brandon Moreno's been in there in this division against the very best that the competition and the division's had to offer for year after year, almost a decade now, there's just no way that I'm going to say that Moreno is still the same guy. We love him. We always like to root for him. I think it's a changing of the guard fight. I played Tetsuro Taira, got him earlier in the week at -$1.20. As you mentioned, you can get $1.10 now. Mm-hmm. That's respect for Moreno. I get it. But I like Tetsuro Taira. And I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be shocked if he submits Brandon Moreno if this fight does get down to the ground.
Wow. That's okay. Maybe get some good plus money odds on that for sure. Our very own Dave Ross joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's go to the title fights here in the flyweight division. We have the champ Pantoja taking on Josh Vaughn. Two consecutive submission victories by submission here for Pantoja. Now, he is a heavy favorite at minus 230, Dave, but I'm looking at the total rounds here, 3.5. Could this be a shorter fight if, in fact, Pantoja is able to get a submission?
Ah, you're such a smart man. I did play that under 3.5 of plus money at +$1.10 here. I really do think that the only way that Joshua Van's winning this fight and becoming and new is if he gets this thing to be a dirty boxing match. He does not get taken down to the ground. You get a rematch like you saw against Brandon Royval, the Raw Dog, which might have been fight of the year in that last time out for Joshua Van. But that wasn't that long ago, Scott. And all of a sudden, a guy like Joshua Van, this might be a little bit too much too soon. I worry about an adrenaline dump that you get to this stage now against a guy that's been there, done that. Speaking of, you know, Brandon Moreno fighting everybody, that's Alessandro Pantoja. And if there's ever a great champion in the UFC, in the entire organization, that's still slightly disrespected, I think it's Pantoja. And I know the betting market's got him over $2 betting favorite here. Scott, realistically, he should be over $3 betting favorite in this one.
Wow.
I love Joshua Van. But the problem's going to be is once Pantoja slips one of those big punches, he's going to look behind him, and all of a sudden there's Pantoja mounting him in from a standing position, a standing backpack. I can see that coming very clearly tonight. And all of a sudden you're defending as I'm putting my hand up over my shoulder. And like, how did this guy get on my back? That's Pantoja. He doesn't need to get you down to the ground, Scott, to get the submissions. He can do it standing. So I think if Joshua Van thinks, all right, great, I'll keep this fight standing, all of a sudden you still have to guard against submissions from the stand-up position. That's very rare in the UFC. That's Alessandro Pantoja. That's the level of skilled MMA fighter he is. I love Joshua Van. I love his heart. He's a very durable guy. It's not going to be easy to get him out of there. But I think after an adrenaline dump, if he doesn't have the better of this thing in the first round against Pantoja, and he looks over and the champ is still there, he's still there for a reason. He's been through these wars before, and he doesn't flinch. I think he's going to submit Joshua Van, and I think he does it inside of 3.5 rounds.
Let's get to the main event. The bantamweight title is on the line. It is a rematch. Mirab Dvashvili taking on Peter Yan, and I've already placed a bet. And I know it's juicy, Dave, but I couldn't get away from it because everybody that I talked to has told me that this is the way to play it. So I'm curious what your opinion is. At minus 200, I played Mirab by decision. Yan has never been finished in his career, and we know how talented of a wrestler Mirab is. This feels like it could be a fight that just gets to the ground and everyone's bored because the rounds and the clock's just going to be ticking while these guys are laying on top of each other on the floor with no action.
That could very well be. I think you're on the right side here with Mirab. And look, the first time they fought, it was almost like, you know, we kid, a generational wealth spot, right? Because that day, I'll never forget, I couldn't believe I was getting Mirab at plus $2 against Peter Yan. And Scott, like, he just absolutely mollywopped Peter Yan in that fight, right? And the thing that was, if you go back and watch that first fight, or people, if you didn't see it, Mirab really held his own with his hands. Like, he out fought Peter Yan on the feet. And that's supposed to be where Yan has this great advantage. And as you mentioned it, once the fight got down to the ground, it was as easy as you can imagine. And basically, Peter Yan had to defend the whole time from the ground position, would get back to his feet, and then Mirab would just take him right back into the ground. You know, the greatest featherweight of all time, not named Conor McGregor, could very well be Jose Aldo. If you watch the Aldo fight against Mirab in 15 minutes, I don't know that Aldo landed a strike, and he never got taken down because he was just defending the whole time, the energy that Mirab has. That's the problem for Peter Yan. How can this fight be different from the first time? Can he really get him to stand and trade right in front of him and not worry about the takedowns? That's almost impossible. Mirab, by decision, does feel like the right way to go. But I will say this. He did submit Sugar Shane O'Malley. And when he did that, that was almost by exhaustion. It was almost like O'Malley just didn't know what to do anymore in the ground. And it wasn't even a clean chokehold that Mirab had that night. But it was almost like, all right, I just can't handle this guy anymore. Get me out of here, right? So I don't think that's going to be the case for Peter Yan. I don't think he'd get submitted by Mirab on the ground. But there is that slight risk of it. If Mirab ever really actively looked for more submissions, he could get more. But he loves to clown, guys, Scott. I think it's another clowning on the way. I like your Mirab by decision play.
Only 6 of his 25 fights have finished inside the distance. So let's just go. Let's go to the judges' scorecard here, Dave, where Dave Ross always.
I think you're going to get there.
Where Dave Ross always gets a 10. Appreciate the time, brother. Enjoy the fights tonight.
Thanks, Scott. You're the best. Talk soon.
There he is, our very own Dave Ross. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And for those of you who have not joined VSiN Pro yet, well, we've extended our Black Friday special until tomorrow. That's right. For just $60, you'll get full VSiN Pro access through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, and the AI prop tools everyone's been talking about, plus the 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app and full coverage of every major sport from now through March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. And our college football playoffs betting guide will drop next week. So join now. The Black Friday special, which has been extended, will end tomorrow. Go to vsin.com/subscribe to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Keeping an eye on the championship game action here in college football. We are in the fourth quarter of both the ACC and the Big Ten championship games. Virginia trailing Duke 17-10 here to start the fourth quarter, but they do have the football as they held Duke to a field goal, and so they have the football in Duke territory as they look to even up the score here. Currently on your live betting line, Virginia a plus 135 dog on the money line, +2.5 on the spread. Your total in that one is at 43.5. As far as the Big Ten is concerned, they are into the fourth quarter here. Indiana has the football across midfield. They lead 13-10 over Ohio State. And right now the live line is Indiana -2.5, -188 on the money line. Ohio State +145 on the money line. And the total is 32.5. As far as the quarterback play is concerned, for anybody interested in the Heisman race right now, Fernando Mendoza, 14 of 21 passing, 189 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Julian Sain, 14 of 19, 177 yards, a touchdown and an interception. And your live odds right now up on DraftKings for the Heisman Trophy: Fernando Mendoza is now a minus 140 favorite, Diego Pavia plus 160, and Julian Sain at plus 550. So you could have gotten Mendoza at plus 370 at halftime. Now he is a minus 140 favorite. Again, these odds are not predictive. These odds are reactionary. Same thing that I've discussed ad nauseum during the Major League Baseball season when it came to the MVP market without Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh. The market's adjusting is reactive, not predictive. This is not telling us who is going to win the Heisman or who's likely to win the Heisman. This is just reacting to what is happening on the field right now. The thing is, with Diego Pavia, there's nothing to react to. He's done playing. But if Fernando Mendoza, he already threw a nice touchdown pass, engineers another scoring drive here in the fourth quarter, Indiana wins the Big Ten title, well, there's going to be some voters watching this game, waiting to submit their votes, that are going to say, you know something? Mendoza is the Heisman Trophy winner. Congratulations. Indiana wins the Big Ten. They become the number one team in the nation. Ohio State falls to number two. And we head towards the college football playoff. Now, speaking of a reactionary market, the odds on the playoff field have completely been like fluctuating throughout the course of the day with all of the results that were coming in from championship games. Like during that Alabama-Georgia game in the SEC championship, I mean, the odds to make the playoffs were completely just, it was wild how much it was fluctuating. Right now, to make the college football playoff, let's see. Alabama to make the playoff is minus 320 on the yes, plus 245 on the no. I'm looking at FanDuel for these odds. Before the SEC championship game, Alabama was like minus 1600 or so to make the playoff. Now, Duke to make the playoff, I don't know if they'll take this bet, but it's plus 6,500 on FanDuel. Do you mean to tell, well, obviously, never mind. That's not going to happen. I was thinking James Madison, my bad. James Madison is minus 370 to make the college football playoff. Now, here's where this bet gets interesting. With Duke winning, you're essentially betting James Madison as a correlated bet on Duke moneyline. The current Duke money line right now leading 17-10 here in the fourth quarter over over Virginia has actually just shot up to minus 330. I guess Virginia just turn the football over? That must have been what just happened. Virginia went for it on 4th and 5 at the 24-yard line, and it was an incomplete pass. So turnover on downs, Duke takes over. Your live money line right now is Virginia plus 240. Now, if Virginia wins, James Madison doesn't get into the college football playoff. So, odds on James Madison on the no is plus 310. Well, that's greater than the plus 240. So instead of betting Virginia live on the money line, you can bet James Madison on the no to make the playoffs. And you get a better price. Because if Virginia wins, James Madison's not getting into the playoff. Now, I guess you can say, well, what if the committee votes James Madison ahead of Tulane? That's not going to happen. Okay? So that's the only way that you would lose this bet. Notre Dame's odds, by the way, this is where I think the argument here between Notre Dame, Miami, all that stuff gets fascinating. Notre Dame to make the college football playoff, yes, minus 1050 up on FanDuel right now. The yes for Notre Dame to make the college football playoff, minus 1050. The no is plus 630. That is fascinating. Now, Duke does have the football here, and now they are minus 475 favorites to win this game. There is, there's 12:38 remaining here in the fourth quarter. And that was a very interesting decision by Virginia to go for it there on fourth and five. Now, I know what you're saying. Like, the field goal, they're still trailing. But listen, you take, like, I always think of things, and I have a lot of arguments for a lot of decisions that coaches make. But if you kick the field goal there, like, yes, you're not tied because you would have got the touchdown. You'd be tied 17-17. But now, if you hold them and you get the football back, you score a touchdown, you win the game, right? Whereas if you missed it there, now you need the ball back and you need a touchdown just to tie the game. And I understand if you go for it and you get the touchdown eventually, right? Then all you got to do is get a field goal to win the game. But you have to measure out when you're a coach making these decisions what happens in both directions and what you need to happen after both results. So it's an if-then analysis, right? If you get it, obviously your chance of winning significantly improves, right? But if you don't get it, your chance of winning significantly decreases. Your chance of tying goes up, but your chance of winning is suffered. And if you kick the field goal there, your chance of winning significantly improves. That's the way coaches have to handle these decisions. And sometimes I just don't think they do. But you never know. A lot of different variables here. You can maybe they saw a look that they liked, right? The coordinator saw a look that they liked. The eyes in the sky saw something in the defense, and that's why they make a call. Well, that's why they make a decision here. I'm very curious to see, once the college football playoff rankings come out tomorrow, what the lines are going to be in those games. That's going to be one of my favorite things that we're going to do tomorrow on Live Bet Sunday, is get an early look at these lines for the college football playoffs. Because I've looked at all the hypothetical lines over the past several weeks, and I've told myself, if that's the real line, I'm making a significant wager. And I refuse to believe that that would be the real line if these games wind up happening, but we're going to find out tomorrow once the college football playoff rankings are unveiled. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Coming up next, we're going to get into the NFL. We'll talk about where the market sits on the games coming up here for NFL Week 14 Sunday. We'll talk about the consensus plays, obviously, in the Circa contest, both Millions and Survivor, and the weather impact that we could have throughout the league here on Sunday. It's a late December or early December game, right? And we're getting to a point where weather could become a factor and is becoming a factor in a lot of these games. So we'll talk about the weather report around the NFL and which games in particular we would look to attack based on those weather reports. I want to tell you guys, though, about Omaha Steaks and how you can make the holidays unforgettable. From holiday roasts to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks delivers top-quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. Every steak is perfectly aged and hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VSiN exclusive, you get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. Visit omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. We also have an interesting scheduling dynamic. for this weekend's games. And it has to do with Thanksgiving. I will explain and tell you the games which qualify coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.